Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Babe. I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is...
Babe.
Welcome back to our hit podcast, Babe.
Oh, it is a hit podcast.
It is a hit podcast.
Well, thank you so much for the ratings and the reviews. The reviews are great.
Yeah, Ryan checks them literally single day.
I'm engaged now.
He's engaged.
I'm engaged.
I knew it would take is some attention to get him really sucked into this podcast. And so it worked. And
no,
thank
it's
you.
Cool. And it's, I feel like it's building with word of mouth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know? What?
What? Nothing. You just love your fans.
I do.
And I love the fans.
I know. It's like they totally get it. And so, and the viewership is climbing.
Listenership,
readership.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Yeah.
So
we're on board.
Namaste.
Yeah. Thank you so much. My little Christmas presents.
Oh. Ryan and I were just arguing about Joshua Tree and how he doesn't like it.
I hate it.
And I love it.
I think it was built for Instagram. I think people like from LA just go there to like Instagram like a cactus. And then I think the town itself is like a TBD.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
When did you go there?
I went for Dini's bachelorette party.
Oh, okay.
I went to the Integratron. I just like, I don't even really like Palm Springs either.
Yeah.
I think I think Palm Springs is like kind of trash.
That's it, the first time I've ever heard you say
that. The food is bad. I don't trust a town with...
Oh, the food's terrible.
I don't trust a town with bad food. Like, get your shit together, get a fucking good restaurant.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, Cheeky's is like, Cheeky's is fine. Like, if Cheeky's was in LA, it would be like a fine place to go.
Mm-hmm.
But like, because literally everyone is so desperado for good food in Palm Springs, it's like a 4-hour wait for Cheeky's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I have to disagree with you though on Joshua Tree because I really love it there. I think it's like a spiritual oasis.
When have you felt spiritual in Joshua Tree?
Multiple times. I've felt very spiritual in Joshua Tree.
On Molly?
Well, yeah, but I went there, but also I was not on Molly another time and like just really loved it. I love like the Joshua Trees themselves. I think are really cool.
You should throw a surprise party for me in Joshua Tree.
I will.
Like Ryan's favorite place.
Yeah.
It's the only place he feels like
at home. Kind of had a babe moment in Joshua Tree.
What happened?
Well, I was on Grindr. I still am on Grindr, kind of, but this was like...
You are?
Yeah.
Like currently?
Yeah.
Do people message you?
Every once in a while, yeah.
Do they think you're trans?
No, I'm not. No, I don't. I mean, I say I'm a female and like I say my whole deal. I'm not trying to like mislead people. No,
you're
I'm
like
not.
My testosterone levels are high.
I've had high testosterone levels, but yeah. I am not trans. I just have gone on because I was like in search of a bisexual butterfly to like just fulfill my every fantasy.
Totally.
And I was on there. I went to Joshua Tree with our friend Ed, and we were like at a bar kind of waiting for our other friends to arrive because we had rented this Airbnb for the weekend. And we're on Grindr, like scrolling through guys and going through messages, seeing who's online. And we see this like really like beefy guy on there. And so I start to like message with him and it becomes clear like he's DTF. And I was like,
wait,
I'm
DTF. Do you
still
have correspondence on your phone?
Probably. Yeah.
I want to read it. Oh, I love that. Actually, I went on your Grindr a few months ago to see like what was cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing good.
On my Grindr?
Yeah.
Oh, remember? You like went on my account.
Yeah, just to like see what was cooking. And it was like, no, I take back the food. Take back the food.
I mean,
was,
you know, it's just tough out there on an app. Grindr or Tinder, whatever.
Don't go on the apps if you're looking for an entree. So stupid.
You are fired.
Oh.
So I went on and I was like, this guy, he was like pretty buff and like bald, but in a hot way.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. He
I
was like a hot, baldy. Like Bruce Willis, like baldy. And I was messaging with him and then we like he sent me a dick pic. I sent him like a tit pic. And then it was like, it seemed like it things. Well, I have
what?
Boob pics just saved on my phone. Oh,
right. Of course, like go-tos.
Yeah. I like just have a couple boob pics that it's like you can fire off to anyone.
I used to send like sexual Snapchats to people when we lived together.
Dangerous.
I did. Like to thought catalog fan people.
You probably had Grindr hookups when we lived together. I did. Like, every once in a while.
I did, but I was like,
I was none the wiser.
No, because
they always happened at TBD times.
I would drink like a bottle of Kim Crawford and then invite someone over and I would like not remember a goddamn thing that happened. Like,
I love that they would come over.
It wasn't like a blackout because I've never blacked out before in my life, but I would definitely not remember. Like I bet there's probably like two guys I've hooked up with that I just don't remember.
It was like a brownout.
It was a total brownout. Yeah. Tell me what happened.
So I was messaging with him. I sent him like my good like boob picture. And then he's like, well, I work on like the army base out here because there's like an army base around Joshua Tree's. Like,
sure.
And Ed was helping me like message with him because I just get like flustered whenever I have to message people on dating apps. So Ed was really like leading the force. And he was like, oh, this guy is like down to come and just pick you up and then you guys can go somewhere. You should do it. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Tell him yes. And then he was like starting to respond. And I was like, wait a second. Like, I can't go get in a car with a stranger that I met off of Grindr.
Guys can do that. Women cannot.
Yeah, men can do that. Another just like unfortunate instance of men versus women is that like if you're a gay guy, like you can just go wherever.
Men worry about like having a bad hookup. Like women worry about end up.
I'm like, I'm not trying to end up in a ditch in Joshua Tree, as spiritual as that may sound.
A Natalie Holloway moment.
Yeah. And so then I was like, we're like, okay, well, what's like a second option? And we're like, oh, we can just go to, let's go to the Airbnb. There's two bedrooms. Mm-hmm. You can put a blanket down over the bedroom that our friends are going to stay in and he'll come over and you guys can do whatever in that bedroom. And Ed was like, and I'll just stay in the living room and just to make sure nothing happens. And I was
so
like, okay.
Weird.
So I messaged this guy and I was like, here's
like,
the
no,
deal.
It's the good strangle, not the bad strangle.
I was like, so you can come over to like our Airbnb, but my friend Ed's going to be there, but he'll just be in the living room as like a platonic thing, just making sure. And the guy was like, okay. And so we like,
I love it. Nothing will get in his way.
So we were like pretty set up to do it, but then he kind of dropped off messaging. I'm like, I wonder why. Cause I like,
you're like, just so you know, my friend will be in the living room hearing everything we do.
Well, I mean, I have to think of my safety first.
Well, yeah, of course. I don't blame you for doing it. I just also know that as a guy, that might be like a boner killer.
Yeah, it is a boner killer. But like, what else are you going to do in this
day
and
age? But I feel
like
if you're a gay guy messaging a woman on Grindr, then you should be down for whatever.
Yeah, you should basically be like, understand that I'm going to implement my security tactics to make sure that I am safe and like that it's just a platonic friend in the living room.
Yeah.
Like, he'll listen to music. It's not like he's going to listen to us fucking. It's just like, it would just be the friend in the living room. It's a good move. I would say that I stand by, like, if you want to hook up with a guy, you should maybe consider getting a friend in the living room just to, like, monitor, just in case.
That happened to my friend in college. She hooked up with a guy off Craigslist because it was, like, back in the day, like, mm-hmm. 10 years ago. And my friend Garrett hid in the closet.
I think having a friend around is a really
smart, strategic move. If you're a woman, like,
if you're a woman, I mean,
BYOF, bring your own friend.
Bring your own friend. They can load up their music, like get a good playlist on Spotify going, and then you have like just an advocate in your corner should anything go awry.
Isn't that so sexy? Just like setting the tone for when to give you like, I'm going to bring a friend so you don't murder me. Lol.
You got
to
do what you got to do in this world.
Oh, I know.
But anyways, sweet baldy Bruce Willis kind of dropped off and I didn't hear from him for like an hour. And then I think he was like messaging other guys because he was probably on Grindr to hook up with a guy. And then...
But he was bisexual, right?
I mean, well, yeah. Right? I mean, that's like I say in my profile, like, are you bi or what?
Yeah.
So then he messaged me like an hour and a half later and he was like, okay, I'm ready. And I was like, well, it's too late now. Like my friends
are
here.
Too late to apologize.
Yeah. I was just like, it's too late, baby. Oh,
what was that song you sang to me when we went to Ojai?
What?
Oh my God. What was that song you sang to me in the pool in Ojai? Like you and Christine, like what was that song?
I don't
know. Was it like an Imagine Dragons song? You used to sing this song to me. Like what? A top 40 song. It was like an Imagine Dragons song.
I don't think it was an Imagine Dragons. But was it like What was it?
I don't know. I can't remember, but it was hilarious.
Can you give me like a genre?
No, it was like one of those, it was an Imagine Dragons type band. And we were, remember we were in that saltwater, fresh saltwater pool or freshwater pool in Ojai. And you were like singing that to me and it was truly a troll. It was like, no, no, no. Do you remember this?
Oh my God. No, it wasn't Imagine Dragons. It was like, it's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. That's the best song.
You were singing that to me over and over again. It was truly lol.
See you again, song heads. And we played that song like 40 times over that vacation.
But if you just sing that, if you just sing that part of it over and over again, it truly is like psychotic.
It's been a long day
since I've seen you.
That you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
Wow.
It's a powerful song.
No, it's terrible.
That's about Paul Walker dying.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Who sang it? Paul?
No.
It was probably Fast and Furious soundtrack.
It was on the Fast and Furious soundtrack.
And that's funny.
My friend Christine and I decided after that weekend, I was like, whoever dies first, the other one has to perform that at the funeral.
Yeah. That's
incredible. We have a deal that's like, I've made deals with people for funeral performances. So that's like, I would have to perform it at hers or she would have to perform it at mine. Yeah.
When I went away with my best friend to Europe, we would just get bored of talking to each other because, you know, it was just us for 2 months straight. And then so you would just go, shoo-ba-doop-ba-doop-doop-doop. Oh.
Yeah, you do that a lot.
No more I love you.
No more I love you.
Annie Lennox is so fucking weird. I love her so much. But it makes you really understand how the 80s were a time where you could be weird and also legitimately successful, make a ton of money, and
yeah,
like be a pop star.
Wiz Khalifa sings to you again. It was like a dramatic Fast and the Furious. It's because it has rapping in between.
It definitely seemed like an Imagine Dragons genre.
It does not seem like that.
It's Uber music. It's music you hear in a fucking Uber. There's like, that's where I hear all the top 40 is in Ubers. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
So yeah, I didn't get my baldy hookup and life moved on.
Speaking of you hooking up, you know, I feel like we're kind of bearing the lead here because Lara did something very off-brand and actually had sex with someone.
That is rude. I'm like, you pretend, Ryan likes to pretend that I never have sex.
And Lara likes to pretend that she does have sex.
And the truth is I do have sex.
I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think both of us are wrong.
I think, yeah. Well, anyways. Yes, I did have sex this week.
But it comes, this experience is very Herbie Foy loaded because it was with a guy that you have a past with, a herstory. And it's probably, since I've known you, it was probably the most babe I've ever seen you.
Really?
Like, because you were crazy. And I had to literally talk to you like, you're being psycho. And you were like, what? And I'm like, no, you're crazy.
Well,
I like remember vividly like talking to you on our balcony.
Yeah.
On our balconies and being like, babe, you're like losing yourself.
Here's the deal. 2 years ago, I had like a real crisis moment, I would say. And like, it's like kind of falling for this guy and like fucking him threw me into like a downward spiral crisis zone where I realized that my whole life was like deeply, deeply fucked up and I needed to like, I had some serious shit to do to change my life.
He was also just like a freak on a lash.
He was also a freak on a lash. It was like,
he had intimacy issues like up the wazoo. He was not technically attractive. I mean,
he was. Okay,
If the listeners saw a pic, they would be like,
he's attractive.
And then the girls with daddy issues would be like, he's hot.
Yeah. Basically, I was like, oh my God, this guy basically is the physical embodiment of my, or not physical, that sounds really gross.
It was like fucking my dad and I loved
it. No, it was like, this guy is like the emotional and spiritual equivalent of my father and like, I'm in love with him and I need to get his love in order to like
his approval. You want his approval.
To like feel like a whole person again. And
yeah.
So then I fell down this like deep rabbit hole of being like sickly, tortured, addicted, crazy in love with this guy. And
I'm
like,
crazy right now.
Yeah. And it was just like, it was a lot. And it was like, and it really, the tortured love affair on my, was a one-sided thing because I never really expressed to him how I felt about it.
Yeah, but he was just really, I mean, he's like a fucked up individual. He had drug problems. He drank a lot. Like, he would build forts of pillows when you guys would sleep so you wouldn't cross over. He'd create physical, literal physical boundaries in the bed so you wouldn't cuddle.
There were a lot of red flags, and I was like, this isn't, it was just, it was like, it was complicated.
He was like your Adam from Girls, like a little bit.
Yeah. He was like, it was someone who was very like sexually open and
yeah, you guys free, had great
and we
sex.
Had like,
because he was crazy. And yeah, I told you this.
We had incredible sex and it was
you can
really
only have
fun.
Crazy sex with crazy people.
And we had like these like really intimate moments of sex that like kinds of sex that I'd never had before. And then it just got, and then it was just like, it was too much emotional labor on my half. Like, it was driving me crazy, and I felt like just like strung out and like addicted.
He was a drug.
Yeah. He would, became like a drug kind of feeling for me. So then I broke things off and like didn't really talk to him, like just kept my distance because I was like, this is not like, this person doesn't make me feel good. And so I gotta like bounce. And over the past 2 years, I've been like doing a lot of therapy. I've been like, you know, I'm on medication and like just in an, I'm just like getting my shit together.
Yeah.
And, but he was really like, he was just more emblematic of this like time in my life where I was like really avoiding a lot of responsibilities and kind of like just backsliding as a human being. And it has less to do really with him than it has to do with me.
Right.
And so,
so you saw him again.
So I've saw him again and we've seen each other socially. We've seen each other socially like a few times or whatever, but not really like.
What made this time different? You didn't even tell me what happened. You just told me you slept with him.
Well, I was, we were just drunk and it was like a holiday dinner party at our friend, at our friend's like holiday dinner party that she was hosting. And we were just drunk. And then I was like, you know what? I really want to have sex. And I like, this guy's really accessible right now. And I know that I can have sex with him.
So what did
like,
you say? Like, how did
I
get
just said,
initiated?
Like, what are you doing after this? And he's like, I'm going to go home. And I was like, he's like, do you want to see my, because he lives in a tiny house right now.
He lives in a tiny house?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He lives in a tiny house.
What do you mean?
He bought a house and then he built, he has to like redo the whole house. So he lives in a tiny house that he built in like the backyard of his actual house.
Where is it?
It's in Echo Park.
Is it cute?
Yeah, it's cute. It's like, it was I knew it was weird and a dicey move, but I like to roll the dice sometimes. And it didn't feel bad. Like, it didn't feel bad to me. It didn't feel like weird.
Did you guys do like ass play?
No.
Really?
We just had regular.
Oh, you had regular, regular sex? That wasn't really your thing. You guys did not have vanilla sex at all. You had like chocolate.
No, we had like,
you had like dark, you had dark chocolate, you put the dark in dark chocolate.
No, but it was actually, it was fun and adventurous, but it was also just like too, it was like too much too soon, I think.
You're having gayer sex than I was.
I know. I was like fucking him in the ass.
Yeah, you were pegging him, right?
Yeah, I was pegging him.
Yeah.
It was great.
Do you guys, did you guys have anal sex?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that.
Babe, it was a lot. It was
did
a
you
whole
like
journey.
It?
Yeah, I loved it.
You really did?
I loved it.
That's crazy.
I loved it.
You have no prostate. I don't know what that's about.
There's a whole like area in your ass as a woman that is like good to stimulate.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh.
Babe, not just gay men aren't the only people that can enjoy anal sex.
I know. I just know that we have a G spot.
I know,
asshole.
But there's like, I read something recently about an A spot.
Did you write it? You're like literally like doing propaganda for like anal sex for women. I love that.
I think
like, I swear there's an A
spot. I think that anal sex is a great thing and that everyone should try it.
I agree. Or if they don't want to, they don't have to.
You don't have to, but it's like, give it a shot.
Yeah.
Just like, see how you feel slowly but surely over time, work your way into it, maybe if that's what you're open to, but by no means do you have to do it. I'm just saying that it's really great.
So you guys just had conventional sex?
We just had conventional sex.
Oh wow.
Just
okay.
Kind of like drunk great. Sex and then woke up the next morning
how
and lolled and it was fine. And okay. Then had like tried again in the morning and it was just like, he made me a coffee, showed me around his new house, told me all the construction that's happening, and we just like laughed. And then I was like, I'm going to get a lift and go home.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it was not like, it didn't feel.
Maybe that's the coda you needed.
And the time, like, in the morning sex time, I was like, I think the spell has been broken. Like, I didn't feel the same way that I'd felt 2 years ago where I was just like, oh my God, like spinning out. And I don't feel that way now. I'm just like, okay, that was fun anyways. And like, am I going to try and date this person? No. Am I going to try and like emotionally invest, like over invest in this person? No. I'm just going to like journal and like continue to take Prozac.
If I hadn't found Jonathan so quickly, I would have definitely had experiences with assholes because I secretly love assholes too. I like being, I like pushing people's buttons, but I love it when they push mine back. And so that is a very comfortable space for me to be in.
Yeah.
Is getting a guy trolling me a little bit. But like that troll can be like kind of damaging.
Well, for me, it's like I really do want to seek, or I've had a proclivity towards seeking the love of people who can't give me the kind of love that I need, because mm-hmm. it's like a bigger win if I go, like if I could change this person and get him to like love me back in the way I love him, then it's like I've won and like I've fixed all my daddy issues through that. But if I can't, it just reinforces all the negativity that I tell myself anyway. So then it becomes this whole like downward spiral of like re-traumatizing myself and like reopening all those old wounds. And then, and so when hot. I did that, I know it was, I think it was hot. It really was hot for me. Like I like that kind of stuff sometimes. Like I like sad sex sometimes.
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, I missed out on having that kind of sex.
Well, honey, I mean, I don't necessarily recommend it.
No,
but
I know. And I'm grateful to have met Jonathan because I feel like I broke the cycle and found someone who, like, this delicious blend of a human who is so genuinely kind, but also knows to troll me in a very affectionate way, but never in a dark way. So it's like, it's the secret sauce. It's like the, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And that's the thing is, like, I want someone who's, like, really smart and, like, can do the banter with me and do the back and forth. And this person was like that to some extent, but then there was also just like so much darkness on his side. And I feel it's like, if you give it a break and then come back around and like, just do like a remember when fuck, you probably after years have passed, you're both a little bit different.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I think we're both like in different places and this doesn't feel like loaded and it just is like whatever and not a big deal. It's not like doesn't bear the same weight that it used to 2 years
ago. That's good.
And so it's like, it's fine. I mean, it's just whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I think back about that journey. And for me, that's really been about like confronting issues like with my family and with myself and like getting, it was just like, it signified, it was just emblematic of like a long journey of self-reflection that I'm still on, but like thankfully feel like I'm in a much better place now and I feel like I've grown as a human being.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah.
I had two kind of guys that were like that for me, but we never hooked up, but it was like, it was, you know, it was Rob.
Rob, yeah, I like Rob.
So I met Rob at a friend's party and he was extremely sexy, extremely charismatic, just like, he's hot.
Yeah.
He's got a certain thing about him.
Mm-hmm.
And he me and him were bonding over like both loving shoegaze, and he was like, oh, he's like, I got a song for you, I want to play you a song. And I was like, okay, cool. So he's like, it's in my car. And I was like, oh my God. And I was experiencing an interesting summer because I lost 30 pounds and came out about having cerebral palsy, so it was all sort of happening for me. It really was like the ugly duckling becoming a swan.
Mm-hmm.
And having this kind of newfound confidence and this new kind of sense of self, which I'd never had before because I felt like Grendel for literally the majority of my life.
Yeah.
And so it was like this new power that I didn't quite know how to harness or use correctly. And it had got me male attention, which I'd never gotten before. So anyway, whoozy, so Rob takes me to his car and he plays this song that's like pretty cool, and he sings it to me. And he's like kind of grabbing at my shirt and it's like very like sexual. It feels like we're about to kiss. And then the song ends and he's like, all right, see you inside. Bye. And just leaves me in his car. Lol.
Well, yeah, because he's like, but he's,
he's
like
a little manipulative.
A seductress.
He's a, he's a seductress
to,
and he's a little manipulative.
To rope you in and then
yes,
get you out.
But
you are into, you've been
No, I know.
Historically into that.
I know. And I, but then I get really upset. It's yeah. really interesting. It's like, this thing happens to me and it's like, duh, of course that would happen. But then I get enraged because I'm like, how dare you?
Because, but also I think what you're, the person you're really mad at is yourself.
Yeah, of course.
Because it reinforces like a negative self-talk that you've told yourself to like find that person that you know can't like
yeah.
it's intriguing no, but totally. Never gonna go there with
well,
you.
Well, I'm actually, not saying like, I actually think Rob and I would have probably like legit hooked up. Well, okay, so I kind of like bitched Rob out eventually. Were you at this party where I was
Ryan held
about
a
it?
Real grudge about this
and oh like, I held a grudge
you were so mad for
it was
so
the
long.
It was the grudge report. I was Mike Grudge, creator yeah. of Silicon Valley.
The grudge.
Yeah. It was yeah
hiding
it was
in the corner.
Grudge going to Mitchell Geller and yeah. me. And I eventually talked to him about it because he actually reached out to me and was like, hey, are you mad at me about something? And I was like, I am, as a matter of fact.
I love that it got back to him that you were mad at him about
you
this.
You took me in your car.
Ryan, I think, probably spent the greater part of a year telling everyone about this encounter and how furious he was. And I love that he finally heard through the grapevine and then reached out to you for like Facebook messages.
Maybe, or Instagram or something like that. Anyway, so we had it out at this like party, I forget what.
Mm-hmm.
And were you there? I think you were there. It was that warehouse party that Matt Rich was hosting or something like that. Were you there?
I don't know.
Anyway, I don't think you were there. And he assured me that he wasn't trying to manipulate me and he's really sorry and it was fine. It was really good. And then we also, but he's so crazy because literally like he's so sexual and he's so flirty that like, you know, he says, he apologizes and he says, you know, that he like likes my ass or something like that. I'm like, ah, I'm like, and then Jonathan's like next to me and I'm like, it's one of those, he's just one of those guys where I'm like, I can't resist him. Mm-hmm. I just can't. He's got, whew, like he's just, there's something about him.
And sometimes
it's not like there's something about him. He's just conventionally attractive, has a great body and is very charismatic.
Yeah.
It's not much of a riddle to that. I mean,
it's not like an inexplicable.
No, it's not inexplicable.
Inexplicable.
See, I get flustered even talking about him. It's so fucked up. And then there was this other guy. This was truly lol. Bob. Rob and Bob.
Bob and Rob.
So Bob was friends with a mutual friend. And I would see him out and about. We'd have like a really flirty vibe. And he was just like, again, a seductress, but like always blueballed me. And like we never hooked up. And well, I think at a holiday party a few years ago before I met Jonathan, we finally kissed at the party.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like so thrilled. I was like, and he's crazy. I mean,
yeah,
I had
he
heard
crazy.
That he's crazy.
No,
mm-hmm. he's like actually crazy. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited. He's so hot. And then I'm like, I literally go over to my friend. I'm like, Bob and I just kissed. And then like, well, he's kissing someone else right now on the stairs. And I turn around and he's making out with someone else 2 minutes later. And I'm like, this is bullshit. I was enraged, of course.
Yeah.
So then smash cut to me at Akbar with Jonathan. And who do I run into? I run into Bob. And then Bob like tries to come over and gives me a hug. And I'm like, no, Bob, no. And he's like, what do you mean?
Oh,
like,
I was there when this happened.
Were you there?
This was the night that I said goodbye forever to Akbar for like 2 years.
Oh, right.
It was
right.
Everyone was like so lit.
I miss when you used to go to Akbar.
Babe, I just
I miss
had
it.
It just got to be too much.
I know,
for
but
me.
We need to revisit.
Maybe I will.
You know. Anyway,
I never say never.
So anyway, ran into Bob. I was like, Bob, don't come near me. Like, I'm really mad at you. And Bob was like, what do you mean? I'm like,
Ryan
what do you
was like in the Sex and the City movie when Charlotte is like, no. No, to when like Big tries to like come get Carrie after the wedding, and
I know
Charlotte's like, "Don't you come here!" And like Ryan gets really indignant and like tells someone a thing or two.
I really like get lit, and then he was like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "You know what you did, Bob. You know what you did. You kissed me, and then you kissed someone else 2 minutes afterwards, and you humiliated me, and you did it on purpose." And actually, to be fair, he like completely copped to it and was like, "You're right. I'm really sorry."
But it was like.
It was drama, and Jonathan was there just like his jaw dropped. We had just started dating, and Jonathan was just like,
oh my God, amazing.
And he was like, whoa. Because I get a little Sid Vicious. I just don't like it. Here's the thing. It trolls me because I think as a gay man, I've always been jealous of, I call them free scone people, like mm-hmm. very, very hot people that can kind of just, you know, move through life and things just happen to them. You know, it's like, oh, I just met this guy in the produce aisle at Gilson's, and then we just decided like, let's go to Palm Springs for the weekend. And then we just like did that. And now we just like that, you know, it's like life moves at a faster pace because they're beautiful. And
but that's like your perception of it. That's not necessarily the truth.
No, but like things like that do, like things happen to them in terms of romance that don't happen to me or people that are not free scone people, you know, because it's just you're, if you're very, very hot, you have a different experience moving through life. You just do. And, but no, I mean, but is it like, is it fulfilling? Is it, does it fix everything? No, of course not. But like, I am envious of that because I've always wondered what it would be like to like have the kind of looks that you could utilize in a real way. Do you know what I mean? But like, that's real. Like,
yeah, but I think that you put an extravagant amount of weight on that. I think you put more, it's heavier for you, put more weight on it than actually it truly is in just
I totally agree, but it just, it, you know, it's, I made a huge mistake and I didn't have sex with a woman for 10 years. And honestly, honestly, if I could give my 20-something self, because I don't believe in mistakes, but if I could give my 20-something self any advice, I would be like, Brian, just get a dick in your ass immediately, please, because you're creating insane damage to yourself. Like, you are. Like, it is not good for your self-esteem, your well-being to go a decade without sex. And, like, I remember, like, I had this boyfriend who wanted to fuck. And
a decade without sex is a real babe.
Oh. And, but by the way, it makes you babe out in extreme ways.
Yeah.
And, like
you
it,
feed, you
it's
feed
a babe that ricochets to other
babe.
Babes.
Yeah.
It's a babe that leads to other babes. Mm-hmm. It's just like a domino effect. Mm-hmm. And it really trolls you
because
on a deep
that
psychic
time,
level.
It's like 1 year goes by and you're like, wow, oh my God, I haven't had sex in a year. And then like, you're like, then another year goes by and you're like, oh my God, I haven't had sex in 2 years. And then you create a narrative like, I'm so sad I haven't had sex in 2 years. So then another year goes by and then you're just like, wow, now this is who I am. I'm just a person that doesn't have sex because I haven't had sex in 3 years. And then it becomes like
your snowballs.
Life story.
And so then, and then you get scared of it. So that's what would happen to
me.
I'm
like, for you, not me, because I haven't.
So I went probably 2 years without sex living in San Francisco. And then when I moved to New York, actually I did have the option to have sex and I just became so scared of it that I just turned it down.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm talking about anal sex. Yeah. I still gave blowjobs, but there would still be times when I was in my mid-20s and was like dating Percocet full time where I would go like a year without being kissed. Like a year of no physical contact with any boys. I mean, I was just so terrified. I was just like, a guy would approach me and I'd run away screaming. And it just sucked. And it's something that I think at 31 and being in a like long-term relationship, I'm still dealing with the effects of what that did to me as a person.
Yeah.
And it fucks me.
Because it's significant.
It fucks you up. Because now it's like, now I feel like I like the way I look. I like my body. And I take care of it and blah, blah, blah. And it feels empowering. But also, like, I need validation in a real way because I didn't get it for so fucking – I was ignored for so long, you know? And I just wish I didn't have that bottomless pit of, like, need and validation from men. I just wish I didn't have it because it's not chic.
Well, you can't wish it away. But you can just, like, nourish that part of yourself in other ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's just hard. And
it's hard.
You know, it's hard. It's a journey.
Everyone has their own, like, babe sexual, like, hang-ups. And, like...
I just wish I... There was this one guy I was dating, and we had such good sex, minus anal sex. And he wanted to fuck me. It was, like, 3 p.m. in the afternoon. It was, like, in Greenpoint. We were in his bedroom. And I remember so vividly being like, this is a turning point, because this is someone I actually care about, where I'm dating. We've been dating for 3 months. Like, I should fuck him. Like, we would have... And also...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'd have amazing sex. Like, it would, everything would be good. And I said no. And I remember thinking, oh, this is like the turning point. This is like the turning point of like, that was a mistake and I should have done it. And now that I didn't do it, I'm going to pay for this with like much longer celibacy. Because if I can't have sex with this person who is great, then I'm really fucked. You know what I mean? I'm like really fucked up.
Yeah.
And I should have done it. I honestly, like, that's the thing. If I could go back, I would, like, dick slap my 23-year-old self and mm-hmm. be like, get it together. Fuck him. It's gonna be amazing. And also, all the power that you've given to sex and not having it is going to go get erased. That's the crazy thing. It's like, it gets so much power and then it can be erased with just one sexual experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, my God, why was I freaking out about that? That was so fun. Not a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that is a regret of mine. And I don't know what to do because what's done is done. And now
I
have sex a lot, but it's just, it's just sort of, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I had guys turn their face away when I tried to kiss them. It was sad.
I know, but I don't know.
She uses your face. She's like trying to like create some positive spin, but she's actually like, that's horrifying and sad. But you're like trying to like figure out like a positive spin.
I'm
sorry. That's a horrible thing. You're like, I could just see your eyes. Your like soul just left your body because like that is a really horrible thing to happen to you. You were just like, the color drained from your face and you were just trying to think of something positive to say. There's nothing positive to say when you go in to kiss the guy and he literally turns away. It's horrible. Also, there was the guy that I tried to kiss when I was 19 and he said he had Lyme disease and he said it would hurt his body to kiss me. I know. I went through real shit. It was a lot of longing and wanting.
But now it's different.
It's totally different. And I feel so good about myself. And going to the gym and working out is really good for myself and my self-esteem. And it gives me, it creates a positive relationship with my body, which I've never had before. I've always seen my body as basically a place of failings, you know, mm-hmm. just constant failings mm-hmm. because I'm FCP and it's what I can't do. You know, I can't do this, I can't do that. And then going to the gym and taking care of myself, it's like, oh my God, my body is actually very strong and I can do a lot of amazing things with it, which is really, really fucking awesome. And it also makes me look better naked, which is it's a win-win all around.
Yeah.
But now it's like this weird thing too, like where I do want to fuck like a lot. Mm-hmm. And you know, like other people and whatnot, but it's a blurry line because part of me is like, I want to do that because I didn't sow my wild oats, which is very real. But then part of me is like, does it feed into my like bottomless pit of like validation?
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's a little bit of both.
But here's the thing too. Sorry, I'm like going on a tangent. Mm-hmm. This is like, okay, sorry.
I'm like, wrap it up.
I know. I'm sorry. No, I'm just thinking about things because remember when I got addicted to having any massages, like mm-hmm. really badly, like, and was just, it went to a dark place and I was like going to like unclear apartments on like Fountain and La Brea and like, it was awful. So part of the reason why that was awful was because I was paying those guys to do that to me. So it was not a two-way street. So I left feeling more of like a gremlin because I was like, I just had to pay someone to touch me.
Yeah.
I think what's great about hooking up with someone in a non-happy ending session and is that you don't pay them. It's mutual. Like this person wants to see you naked. And
That realization.
It's an experience. No, I know.
I think what's actually great about like hooking up with someone who wants to hook up with you without having to pay
I know. But because of my relationship, that was sort of the way that I could scratch that itch.
I know, but don't you
without getting into trouble. But it ended up doing much more damage because I was paying someone to touch me and that felt really gross and sad. And like every disabled boy's
that feeds
boy's
back into liking,
nightmare.
Like being attracted to psychos that you know are just going to string you along and then not give you what you want. That's very parallel to that. It's just getting the same feeling in a different way.
There was this one masseur guy that I saw that was actually a porn star, even though I never saw his work, who was like daddy and very sexy. And he actually was into me. Like he actually like was very attracted to me. And that mm-hmm. felt like a very positive experience because I knew he wasn't doing it because he like, you know what I mean? It was like a very mutual, like fun, sex positive thing.
Yeah.
So that felt really good. But like, I also can't just go back to that journey anymore because it was so dark and like mm-hmm. weird for me. Anyway, I don't know how we got here.
I feel like this veered into like a very intense therapy session.
I know, but I think they're I think that's fine. I think the readers are here for it.
The readers.
I'm sorry.
I think the viewers love it. the ratings are in, and the viewers love it. You always call them the readers.
I don't think you should be scared of this conversation, though. I don't think you should, because I think that they're going to be DTF with it. I do. Anyways, all right, let's move on to, I guess, funny things. I don't know.
Should we be, like all the should listeners,
we be funny today?
All the listeners like unsubscribed. Yeah, like they like take back
oh,
their
Oh, please. I think they're like
reviews.
Gripped. I'm sure. People love conflict.
Nothing like some drama to stir things up.
Conflama. Jack McFarlane said conflict and drama.
Conflama. Yeah. It is some conflama.
It's conflama.
But I would like to get back to a place of lols.
Yeah, yeah.
Because let's that's where I really function.
Let's find the road to lols.
It's where I'm at my best.
So we were talking about...
at the end of this like hookup or whatever that I had recently, it was like... hanging out at this guy's house, and his house is under construction. He's like showing me, and then I was just thinking like, wow, the last couple guys I've slept with have been these men who are like trying to build their dream house essentially. But I was like, you know what, I want to like give myself permission to build like my dream house and see that as like a possibility for myself.
Wait, are you talking like literally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was just a moment where I was like, I don't know.
I did not expect that to.
What were you thinking? Were you thinking I was speaking in like a deep metaphor?
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know like where you were going with the dream house story, but I did not know it was going to land with. And I realized like, I want to build my own dream house.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was like, wow, I think, because I feel like I've told myself a lot, like, or it's just like, especially when you have like financial problems or like, work is slow for like a year or 2 years that you're just like, fuck, I'm never going to have anything. Like I'm going to be homeless.
Right.
And like, so, and then I have like been fucking these guys that like are building their dream houses. And I'm like, you know what? I can be a fucking guy with a dream house.
Yeah, girl.
I'm
going
to build my dream house and give myself permission to like allow that into my life and to allow that to happen.
Yes.
And like, that's my biggest journey.
Building a dream house.
Yeah. Or just like building a dream life.
You got to be a dream house to build a dream house.
Yeah. So.
Where would you build it?
I don't know.
That's my worst nightmare. I need a house that's turnkey ready.
Well, no, babe. I'm saying like, not necessarily literally like I want to go buy a house and gut it out and make it my dream house. But I want to like find and build my dream. Like I want to have a dream house that I like.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Okay.
I thought it was like...
I want to get into real estate and go buy a lot and like build a house on a lot somewhere. And like, that's really my... No, yeah. I just want to give myself permission to have a house.
Oh, okay.
I just want to have a house
confused.
That I like.
I was like, is she getting into real... Yeah.
No, I'm saying that I just want to...
Oh,
like,
God.
I too would like to like own a house someday that I love. And like, I would like to usher into my life a narrative of that I can achieve that dream.
Yes. I really do believe like... getting all the things is truly faking it till you make it. I honestly think that people that are like pessimistic and they don't get the things they want. You have to kind of be a delusional diva.
Looking back to where I was like 2 years ago versus now has been a journey of like reintroducing myself to myself and like giving myself permission to do a lot of things like build the dream house or whatever. And so it's like, that's, I guess, my big takeaway.
Good.
I'm like, everyone go out, fuck someone that really triggered you in a variety of ways and made you have a meltdown, and then see how you feel now.
And then realize that you want to build a dream house.
Yeah. And then try and tell Ryan O'Connell about it and confuse him.
Yeah. I was really confused. I was like, she's going to get into flipping houses. I'm like, real
no,
estate.
All right. No.
I didn't know.
Honey.
Anyway.
Anyways.
Hey, aren't you getting Botox for Christmas?
I already got Botox.
I know, but aren't you going to get it when you go back?
I might get more. I might try and get lasers because my stepmom has all these lasers at her office.
You actually do. Like, your Botox like looks good.
Yeah, I know.
And actually, it does make you look younger.
What was really weird when she was doing Botox on me is she's like, well, how do you want it to look? Like, do you want it to look natural? Or do you want to look like done? And that's, I guess, a question that people get asked when they get fillers.
Who
and
would
stuff.
Be like, I want to
no,
look
I
done?
No, I was like, I was like, do people actually say they want to look done? She's like, yeah, that's a style that people
that's
really like.
Weird.
Like, I can't, I'm just like, so I'm just a very like natural beauty type of person. It's a little bit
I'm
about me that you don't
naturally
know.
Beautiful.
Just like feature, like natural beauty.
I don't need
like,
to wear a lot of makeup because I'm beautiful.
But I don't wear a lot of makeup or like do my hair really crazy or anything. Like, I just don't, that's just like not how I present myself and not how I like to do my like beauty routine.
Yeah.
So like when it comes to doing sort of like maintenance things like a Botox or fillers, like I would be like, I would like to look as naturally myself as possible, just like my most natural state. And so I would never think to be like, yeah, I want to look done. Like I went through a wind tunnel, but some people really want to look that way and they like that aesthetic, which is wild. I just didn't know that that was. And so when you see people that look like that,
it's deliberate. That's what they wanted.
It's deliberate.
They wanted to look cooked.
I would say probably 90% of the time it's deliberate. And they were like, this is how I want to look, which is shocking, but like, whatever.
The other day, someone with a lot of plastic surgery posted a selfie and she said hashtag no filter, and I read it as hashtag no filler.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'd love to get like a little like laser action or like some sort of thing. I don't know. It's nice. I'm just grateful that I have a family member that does this stuff, because I couldn't get it in LA if I wanted to. So yeah,
that's fun. I'm excited to see what your face looks like after Christmas.
I know.
Should we read what people have written in? Have people written in anything?
Yeah, let's read some stuff.
And then we'll do Babe of the Week.
Yeah. Yeah, so Ryan writes in, not Ryan O'Connell, but a
what
different
What if I was
Ryan.
Like writing into our own?
That would be amazing.
That would be very
something. He said, hi, babes. I just listened to the latest episode with a semi-deep dive into Gallery Girls, and thought I needed to bring your attention to another one season reality show gem called Beverly Hills Nannies. It's what happens when you dunk Vanderpump Rules into an ice bath so watered down because it aired on ABC Family prior to the Freeform identity crisis. Head out on a journey with 5 to 10 nannies whose names I can't remember, who think they have it made because they take care of Beverly Hills elite kids with parents like Cindy Margolis and someone who is a half sister to Carrie Fisher. It's got babe written all over it with friendship and career drama, light amounts of alcohol to never challenge the ABC fam notes, and standard Los Angeles B-roll.
There's
also one hot Australian man in the cast, and they get their money's worth with Manny puns like 8 times per episode.
I'm here for it.
I think I remember this show.
I don't remember it.
I remember it being around, but I don't think I watched it. But I live for like a one season reality show. Like,
oh,
that's
yeah,
like my favorite genre.
It's so damaging that they can never do season 2.
Yeah.
Like NYC Prep.
Like NYC Prep. Or
NYC
Hey
Prep
Paula.
Was everything. NYC Prep, Hey Paula. High Society.
The Whitney Houston reality show.
Yep. NYC Prep is probably one of my favorites. I need to rewatch that. I feel like I did just rewatch it, but I need to rewatch it again.
I liked it, but didn't fully like love it.
When did
like,
you watch it?
I watched it when it was out.
Oh, honey, you need to rewatch it again.
But I have revisited it again, and it is like very big.
It's incredible.
But, like, my
Jessie, the inbred girl who's like in love with her gay best friend, PC.
Yeah. Like, my favorite one season was High Society. Like, will always be High Society.
I know. I didn't watch all those episodes. Didn't you have the episodes?
Yeah, they're on YouTube. The best thing to actually happen in 2017 was someone alerted me to the fact that all of High Society
and Rich
was
Girls.
On YouTube.
Rich Girls.
Oh, yeah. Rich Girls is iconic.
Rich Girls is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the most babe things that can ever happen is just a one season of a reality
show.
Because everyone goes so hard. They just
They destroy their lives.
And it's so dark that you just can't ever go back to another season.
I will say, though, like, one season reality shows was definitely an early aughts thing. I think that when people became more savvy, like they knew exactly what to do.
Yeah.
Like one season reality shows kind of connote that there was like an experiment that went horribly wrong.
But
or for the viewers.
There's still some. Every once in a while one breaks through. Like, because the Paris Hilton's reality show on Oxygen.
Oh my God.
That was only a one season.
That was
truly The World According to Paris was one of the darkest reality shows ever seen in my life.
Brooke Mueller always having a breakdown.
Brooke Mueller was addicted
always
to crack.
Always having
like,
a breakdown.
In and out of rehab, having like a scream cry breakdowns to Kathy Hilton, who was also on the show.
Yeah, I know.
Of course. Like, Paris got arrested for cocaine possession in Vegas when she was dating that guy, Cy Waits or whatever. And it was like, it truly was just like, wow, how dark.
I love that Paris hasn't gotten married. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
But also, Paris is true garbage because she's like a white supremacist. Like, the thing about Paris that really trolls me is that Paris Exposed came out when, you know, she didn't pay her storage locker fee.
Yeah.
And it was like her saying the N-word, like she's homophobic. She said gay guys all have AIDS. Like, she's truly a vile person.
It was videos of her being like a monster.
She's honestly Jules Kirby adjacent.
Yeah.
In terms of her awfulness.
And
but
then
she's
everyone's
better at,
given her a pass and somehow remembered her as this like cute thing, but it's like,
I don't get
no,
it, but no,
you're
she's
kind of an awful,
a vile, like, white power fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why people, yeah, give her such a pass. I don't really understand, because all the things that Jules Kirby said on High Society.
Had, like, a good PR team to, like, yeah, cover it all up. But it still exists on the internet if you want to go see it. It's like, I know, she's, it's really truly easy, just, like, racist and homophobic.
Yeah, it's
and
awful.
Then somehow pivoted to then become, like, a gay icon, which is a true lol, because it's like, what? But yeah, it's, I just remember, don't.
Did you read Ann Coulter's tweet? She babed out yesterday.
No, what did she say?
She was, like, talking about how she, like, lives a quiet life of desperation because she's single. You need to look it up. It's incredible. She's kind of my queen.
She's a babe.
She's terrible.
She's like, babe?
She's awful. She's awful.
Doesn't she do it on purpose, though?
I can't tell. I don't think so.
I feel like there's a definite,
like,
contingency.
Milo does.
There's a contingency of babes that act like babes so that they, it's like part of their shtick. And I feel like she and Milo and, like, all those types of people.
I mean,
are
she definitely,
like,
knows, like, what to do. Like, she knows what she's doing. But yeah. I also do think that she's, like, a vile person. And, like,
yeah, I don't. Do I think that she's, like, truly happy with her life? TBD.
No. But she hangs up with gay guys.
Yeah.
Which is really weird.
It's weird. What are you going to do?
Yeah, except for light a candle and hope that they find better girlfriends.
Light a candle, say a prayer. But yeah, I would say everyone should watch The World According to Paris, because it truly is, like, it's an explosion of darkness in the best way possible.
Yeah.
I hope it's on, like, iTunes or something. I wouldn't be surprised if she got it taken off, because it really is, like, damaging
to
the brand.
It's not chic. Yeah.
It's unchic.
It's really not chic. But honestly, I think she kind of comes off fine. I think it's
she comes off fine because she's just not do she's like kind of
anything.
Secondary. It's like everyone
she
around
manages
her
to find, like, situations in which she doesn't have to do much, and she just hires, like, a crazy
because she
sidekick to do
she
all
doesn't
the
really
lifting.
Have like a personality.
No.
So she just, like, it's, but it's supposed to be, like, about how fabulous her world is, and you realize that she's surrounded, well, by garbage 24/7.
Her real personality is, like, this gruff, like, voiced racist. She's like, like, you know, and then she, like, puts on this performance of being, like, coquettish and having this baby voice and, like, being, like, a little sweet girl. But
yeah,
she's really just true trash.
Yeah. It's a must watch.
Did you hear about what Bijou Phillips did?
What?
So I'm, like, a huge Bijou Phillips fan.
Are you talking about the thing where that guy came out and said she bullied him?
Yeah, on the set of Bully, lol.
Yeah.
And then Heather Matrozero, who was in Welcome to the Dollhouse, said that on the set of Hostel 2, Bijou Phillips choked her and said that I'm going to make you relapse on this film. Because Heather was sober.
Really?
Yeah.
Bijou has always been... I've always...
Bijou is, like, a dark cloud
Bijou
of psychoness.
Is babe?
No, she's a total babe, and, like, I feel like she got a
evil
pass because no one cares about her really except for, like, me.
Well, she was, like, really hot in the 90s and, like,
in the 90s
early
for
aughts.
Sure.
Yeah, she was like heroin chic, like,
but she
whatever.
Was also she's also, like, a Paris Hilton person who's, like, vile and homophobic. And I read on Oh No They Didn't, because I sometimes go on mm-hmm. Oh No They Didn't, and someone said that when Casey Johnson died, she took, like, her and Tila Tequila, like, had dogs, and Bijou took the dogs and had them put down, took them away from Tila and killed them. And her, when Casey died, this is so stupid, but when Casey died, Bijou and Nikki were there to, like, take her things and stuff like that. Like, there's footage.
Really?
Yeah, because they were, like, her best friends.
Bijou Phillips is a true babe.
She's really...
She's always been a babe with a question.
And also...
The biggest question
she's
mark.
Married to another babe, which is Danny Masterson.
Well, it's a true... Everything about his life is babe. It's like Scientology, that shit show on Netflix.
Well, yeah, and him raping
like
all
the ranch, and then being a serial
yeah.
rapist.
He and Bijou, that's a holiday Christmas card I would not want to get.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
They are truly existing in the biggest question mark babe bracket.
But I implore any of you to do a deep dive into Bijou Phillips. It's interesting. She's had a really crazy life. She's awful. And
well, she comes from, like, a psychotic family.
And
too.
Daniel's thing was, like, kind of fascinating because he talks about how Brad Renfro burst into tears when Bijou was making fun of him.
Yeah.
And was like, please. Because this
poor
is.
Poor sweet
this
Brad.
Is, well, this is also dark because I think Brad Renfro was. Molested
mm-hmm.
like by Joel Schumacher on the set of The Client, and also Bryan Singer on the set of At Pupil. So he got like raped and abused like the way that Corey Haim and like Corey Feldman did, which like, gee, you wonder how these people all like die at 25 of drug problems. Mm-hmm. You're like, anyway, so it was like sad to see Brad come to his defense and like be an ally while Bijou Phillips is just like being a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Anyway, dark times.
Dark times.
What?
Nothing. I'm just thinking about Bijou and I feel haunted.
Yeah, Bijou is a haunted house. Mm-hmm. She's like, she's not the one. She's definitely not the one.
She's not.
Oh my God. Wait, I forgot that I had a friend that was friends with her.
Who?
In New York. And she knew I was a fan. And so she called Bijou up for me. And I talked to Bijou on the phone.
What did you say?
I don't know. She called her Bijou.
Beige.
She's like, Beige, I'm with my friend Ryan. He's a huge fan.
What did Bijou say?
He's like, oh my God, thank you. I think she read something I wrote for Thought Catalog that my friend had sent her and she loved it. And she's like, you know, I think it was like the James Franco interview I wrote. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh my God, that James Franco interview was hilarious. I was like, thank you, Bijou.
You have a loaded history with Bijou.
I do. Me and Bijou. Me and
Bijou needs to listen to this so she can start the healing process. But she came. Did she come? She came out and was like, "I'm sorry for doing that."
She did, but only because she had to. Also, I love that.
I guess you can't be called out for being like a bully that ruined people's lives.
You can't be like anyways,
and then double down and be like, "Fuck you."
No, that's what Andy Dick basically did. People were like, he's like, "Whatever, fuck it."
I kind of love when a person's just like, "Fuck you" about it. It's like, okay. Stick to your guns, I guess.
I love that Harvey Weinstein's team is still issuing like defenses. It's like, honey, go like
the jig is up.
Yeah, like your job is done. Yeah. I mean, like literally, like do not.
Like, I know. It's like what are you accomplishing by doing this?
Literally, you think you're going to issue a retraction? People are like, oh my God, you're right. He's not bad after all. Like he could sway anyone's mind.
Or it's like you're going to be like, okay, well, he did rape like all those women and then bully them, but like actually, this one thing that Salma Hayek said is like, yeah, he didn't really do it.
Oh, that Salma Hayek op-ed was.
Yeah, that was insane. It was so good, but also it's so triggering on literally 4,000 different levels.
Oh, yeah, for you? Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Oh, my God. It was truly, it was a trip down trigger memory lane. But then also it becomes like a fucking a guy 2 years later healing story because you realize how far you've come.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, so.
This kind of leads into your babe of the week.
This does lead into my babe of the week, and that is Mario Batali, because I'm just like now obsessed with anyone's apologies, like because people just truly they don't know how to apologize.
No, they don't, and it's
so
insane.
Mario Batali sent out this like apology email to I guess people that are subscribed to like Mario Batali's like email list, which was like. I wish that I had been before now.
I know.
Because I was like, wow, I could have. It's very like Goop adjacent. And also Gwyneth is good friends with Mario.
Not anymore.
They did that whole reality series.
Not publicly.
Yeah.
Also, just look at him though. He kind of looks like a sexual predator.
Oh, I mean, he has all the hallmark like
but all
physical
those chefs,
features.
It's an extremely toxic environment towards women. I mean, it's the chefs are just like the worst.
So Mario sent out an apology letter for his past behavior of sexual misconduct. And
he looks like John Voight in Anaconda.
Yeah. Like a ginger John Voight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got fired from The Chew, which was a show I didn't know existed.
But. Yeah, I didn't know that either. So Mario Batali's email said, as many of you know, this week there has been some news coverage about my past behavior. I have made many mistakes and I am so very sorry that I've disappointed my friends, my family, my fans, and my team. My behavior was wrong and there are no excuses. I take full responsibility. Sharing the joys of Italian food, tradition, and hospitality with all of you each week is an honor and a privilege. Without the support of all of you, my fans, I would never have a forum in which to expound on this. I will work every day to regain your respect and trust, MB. P.S. In case you're searching for a holiday-inspired breakfast, these pizza dough cinnamon rolls are a fan favorite. And then a link to the recipe.
Honey, that's a recipe for disaster.
What the fuck are you thinking?
You're like, yum. You know what gets me hungry for those cinnamon rolls?
Like, no one knows how to actually apologize is the thing.
It's too late to apologize.
Yeah. So Mario is my babe of the week. And even though the cinnamon rolls did look really good.
They did.
They look really
good. I really wanted one this morning.
I really would love. I'd love nothing more than a cinnamon roll.
Weren't you going to bake? What happened to that?
I don't know. I just haven't had time.
I really want you to bake something.
Well, maybe I'll do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe you can bake those cinnamon rolls.
Yeah. Maybe I'll bake Mario's cinnamon rolls.
You should and bring them to a party. That's fucking hilarious. Be like, you guys, I brought a little special treat. Wait, that is actually fucking hilarious if you baked those.
We'll see. Who's your babe of the week?
The wheels are turning. Mine's Mary-Kate Olsen, who's kind of an evergreen babe for me. I've been obsessed with the Olsen twins now for 13 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't care about them when they were Michelle Tanner or whatever.
Yeah.
But the second they went to NYU, I was on board. Oh, mm-hmm. And also like seniors in high school, because that's when Mary-Kate had anorexia, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was really on board. I thought their fashion was incredible. I tried to dress like an Olsen twin for the better part of my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, what I like about them is that they are these multimillionaires. They're incredibly successful, but I truly believe that they are idiots. I mean, in a way that like they have an entertainment education,
mm-hmm.
like they were raised on sets. And, I think that like, they're like illiterate and stuff, like they can't speak. So my favorite thing to do is to go Google interviews with Mary-Kate Olsen, because she really can't talk. Mm-hmm. Like, and she sounds like she's on heroin all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets like flummoxed and uses words the wrong way and takes long pauses. And she truly sounds like she's barely functioning. So I want to play an interview.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So Mary-Kate was in this movie called Beastly that no one saw except for me. And she
played, yeah, I know this interview. She played, it's a classic MK.
She played a witch, of course. And she gave, she did press for it. And she sounded like a true crazy person. She sounded like she took 40 oxys, basically. You know what I mean? And then chased them with like illiteracy. Okay. Let's see. Also, here we go. Mary-Kate Olsen, Beastly interview. Okay. Vanessa Hudgens.
This song is really good.
Wait. I don't know. I think when first reading Kendra, she could have gone in so many different directions. She could be witchy. She could just be a goth. And I think she was a bit more of an eccentric with, you know, any kind of magical touch. I think it's sort of the way she walks and talks. And we, you know, I think with most things, it comes down to, you know, the little tiny details, maybe something that wouldn't be very interesting to talk about, but, you know, something that gets me in the scene, whether it's the way I approach Kyle or speak to him or the way I use my words. You know, a lot of little details. I think usually once I get in the costume, I sort of just become her. And so I don't know how the extras think I am in real life, because when I get those shoes on, you know, it's a whole other story. Because we were doing our screen test today, so when I saw Alex as the Beast, it was crazy. I mean, I know Alex's dad cried.
Alex's dad cried.
Intense.
Was that intense? Beastly.
But it was so good. It was so well done. It.
She's talking about a movie starring Vanessa Hudgens.
What this movie had the potential and has the potential to be, because it was so real.
I mean,
live for her.
She can barely speak.
She's his potential and direction.
Direction. Like I had my stepmom's friend worked on the show that they did when they were teenagers called So Little Time, and she said that they were illiterate and it would take like hours to get through a table read because they could not read.
Wow.
I know. And now they're multimillionaires.
Babe.
That's just me shooting myself.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, it's weird. It's like everyone kind of treats them like these like visionary masterminds. And like, I bet they are talented when it comes to fashion.
Well, yeah, just I think that speaking, they definitely are.
Just not speaking or acting.
Well,
or,
they found their niche.
Yeah. They found something that yeah. Anyway, I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah.
I also just love the cadence of her voice. She sounds like she's on true like black tar heroin.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
she sounds like Alexis Nyers in Pretty Wild.
She acts, the way she talks.
Yeah.
Also, just none of that made sense. She was like, it's the details. It's the way I choose to look, talk. It's like, what are you saying?
She's like, with a little bit of magic.
Yeah. Anyway.
MK is iconic. Always has been, always will be.
I know. I fucking love her. I would kill to meet her. Kill.
I don't know if she would wow as much in person.
Now she looks like she got dunked in like pomade. And, like, she looks 85 years old. I mean, I saw a current picture of her when I was doing research for today's Babe. And she truly looks like an elderly woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
maybe it's a trick, though, to where, like, you look a lot older. And then once you get into your twilight years, then you end up looking younger.
Or maybe she is 80.
Yeah. Secretly 80.
Or maybe that's just the side effects of smoking 4 packs a day.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's like wild.
Well, because we talked about how
it's wild, but I respect
it. She's had work done to make herself look older.
Yeah. She's had like, I feel something
in that way. She is a visionary. Cheeks. She's the first to ever do that.
Yeah.
So I respect it. Anyway, I love Mary Kate.
I love her.
If she's listening.
Yeah. Honey, I hope she's listening.
Aren't you glad this is in a book? She's like,
she's like, sues you.
No.
She like shuts down. This podcast gets like shut down. It never comes back.
I know. I get fired from my job. It's like, oh my God. Anyway.
She's like, I'll never work in this town again.
I know. She puts a curse on me like she did to Alex Pettifer in that movie.
Beastly is a Babe movie.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it. Oh, it's fantastic. I need to see it. Yeah.
We should see it. Mary Kate is truly insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's in weird outfits and she's just like fucking stoned out of her mind. Like can barely speak. It's
yeah.
Good. Yeah. Oh, Pretty Wild. Another season, one season reality
yeah,
show.
That's what I was saying.
Oh, right.
All right, well.
All right, well. So, continue rating us. There's this one podcast that I find to be really unfunny, and it has more ratings than us, and it's, like, making me steam with rage. So
Ryan's very competitive.
I do get weirdly competitive.
He looks at literally every single review. I look at every once in a while, but I'm not.
You don't read the reviews? They're
fucking
funny. I
do, but I don't. But it's like.
Do you hear that, fans? She doesn't read the reviews.
Ryan, anyway.
So leave them for me. They're my bedtime stories.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.